Genesis chapter 15. And let's start with verse number 1 and read down through verse number 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 down to verse number 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou may be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. I would like you to know tonight that your faith will conquer your fears. Your faith will conquer your fears. Everybody at some point in life is afraid of something. Fear comes with a lot of faces, and it shows up in a lot of ways. All of us deal at one way or another, one time or another, with fear. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The Word of God addresses the subject of fear. There is a law, a biblical interpretation, that we call the law of first mention. And it deals with the first time in Scripture that something appears. And these, especially this verse here tonight, it really has a lot of first in it. For the first time in the Bible, these words appear. The word of the Lord came. First time that appears like that. The word of the Lord came. Amen. And I'm so glad when the word of the Lord comes. Now, it was written many, many times after that, but this is the first time it said, and the word of the Lord came. Amen. And then, this is the first time he says, fear not. Fear not. Why did he say that? Because he saw that Abraham was struggling with some fears. Amen. God knows when you're struggling with some things. And he addressed it before Abram ever asked God to help him. The Lord already addressed the main. He put his finger right on the issue. He said, don't be afraid. Amen. And then he said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. First time that's in the Bible. Now, other times God says, I'm your shield and your reward, but this is the first time. Now, why did God make those two proclamations? I think because that's what was in Abraham's heart. He had reason to. Let's back up a little bit. The Bible in the preceding chapter talks about some kings. There were four kings that battled with five kings, and they had a war, and the four kings overcame the five kings. And in all of the skirmish, the Bible says that Abraham's nephew Lot and his family and all of his possessions were taken in that battle. And when that happened and the word came to Abraham, he went after those kings. Now, I'm not real sure how smart that was. He went after four kings with four armies with 318 men. Amen. I'll say he's bold. Amen. I would say he's a man of faith. And you know what? God gave him victory. With 318 men, he conquered the armies of four kings. And he took back everything that they had taken away from him, and everything that they'd taken from the king of Sodom, and everything they'd taken from the king of Gomorrah, and the other kings. He took all of the possessions back again. Wow. That was a lot of stuff. And God gave Abraham this very great victory. Amen. And he comes home. And my, his head, I'm sure, still swimming. And he's still in the adrenaline rush. And he's still excited. But by the time he gets home, some of that starts wearing off a little bit. And he probably started thinking something like this. What was I thinking? They know where I live. I only have 318 men. They can come wipe me out anytime they get good and ready. Amen. And you can imagine that fear began to rise up in his heart. Amen. I can imagine that happening. Can't you? I mean, I know personally there have been times that when I was in the Holy Ghost and I would say things and I would do things, and when it was all over I'd say, what was I thinking? Did I say that? Did I do that? Man, I hope we still have a church left come Wednesday night. I hope somebody will show up. You know, you get bold sometimes when you're feeling the Holy Ghost and the anointing and you do things. And then you get to normal and you go, what did I do? What did I say? Amen. That's faith, you know. But when faith kind of, you know, it kinda, when the adrenaline's all over and the moment's passed, then fear begins to set in. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about here tonight? Then fear begins to set in. And that's what happened to Abram. He's beginning to understand, what if? What if? What if they come to their senses? What if they realize that I only have 318 men? What if they come after me? What if they find out where I live and they come to my house in the middle of the night with all of these armies and surround me? What if? What if? What if? Amen. And so God said to Abram, he said, I am your shield. Hallelujah. Hey, I want you to know something tonight. God is your shield. Did you know that Israel, the country, the nation of Israel, lives surrounded by a sea of hatred? There are multiplied millions of people that live all around them that want to see their destruction, plan their destruction, and talk about their destruction every day, and build arsenals and bombs and weapons and constantly talk about how they're going to destroy it. They do it every day. Do you know why it's still here? Because God said, I'm your shield. The very day in May of 1948, when Israel became a nation, they were attacked by the Arabic nations, and they said, we're going to drive you into the sea. You know what they did? They captured more of their homeland. 1967, they said it again. We're going to destroy Israel. You know what they did? They took the West Bank. They took the Negev. They increased their land by great. And you know what they've been all these years? They've been whining, give it back to us. 1973, they tried it again. You know what happened? God said, well, I'm your shield. And so he just drove them back further. And now then they keep whining and whimpering and going to the UN saying, Israel won't give our land back. Well, you tried to attack them. You tried to destroy them. You went to war against them. Why should they? And yet they did. You know why they survived? Because God said, I'm your shield. You know how you make it? Because God said, I'm your shield. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something tonight, Brother Neil. You and I are immortal until God gets through with us. Until God gets through with you, there's nothing going to happen to you that he doesn't permit. That is, as long as you stay in his will. I've said this before. The devil's on a leash. He can only go so far. But you know what happens if you step in the boundary where there's a dog on a leash and you get in his territory? Uh-huh. You stepped in his territory. And now you're in danger. So when you walk with God and you stay out of the devil's territory, you get in his territory, he'll have his way with you. And God won't stop it because you went where you were not supposed to go and you knew you were not supposed to go. Then you get yourself in trouble. But if you walk in the will of God and stay out of the devil's territory and walk in God's righteousness, you can't be defeated. Amen. God said, I am your shield. Hallelujah. He's our protector. Amen. God watches over us. Amen. Oh, how many stories could we tell tonight of how God has protected us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I was in Houston, first year of Bible college, fresh off the farm, if you will. Gone to the big city and trusted everybody. Where I came from, you could trust people, didn't lock your doors. You left your keys in the car, didn't worry about nothing. Amen. So I thought I'd go down and I'd look at the ducks in Herman Park. Sure, it was kind of late, but what difference does that make, right? So I'm standing there and these two guys start walking toward me and all of a sudden one goes in front, one goes in the back, and a little sign goes up and says, you're in trouble now, boy. So the one in front of me pulls a pistol and points it at me and says, give me your money. He didn't realize I was a Bible college student. Him. I said, well, take it. And the guy behind me did. He just lifted out my wallet, took all $2 out of it. Hey, that was it, folks. That's all I had. Amen. It could have ended differently, but God is our shield. God is our shield. He takes care of us. He watches over us. Amen. I'm glad he does that today. I'm glad the Lord is our shield. Amen. We were driving in Colombia, and I came to Retene, what do they call those, roadblocks. And I came to the Raten, and there was army, there were soldiers sitting out there with machine guns, and I felt like the Holy Ghost said, go! And so I did. Instead of stopping, I hit the gas. And boy, they scattered all over the place. And nobody shot. Amen. And I really feel like that it was not soldiers, but it was guerrilla soldiers. And the Lord was protecting us. Amen. He's our shield. He's our shield. He takes care of folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God, he does take care of us. He watches over us. He said, I'm your shield. How many times have we been driving down the road we come just a fraction from having a horrible accident? You think that we're just lucky? I don't think so. The very first revival that I was privileged to preach, I was going to that revival in West Texas, and I just put a new wheel bearing in my car, and I guess I got a little too tight. And I went around the curve. I was going around this curve, and I had a 65 Mustang, and it would go. And I made sure that it did. And I was going around this curve, and we were going pretty good. And I felt something go, long curve. And boy, and I pulled over and stopped. I thought, what in the world? I went over, and my wheel was already out several inches, getting ready to fly out in the field. And if that front tire had come off doing what I was doing, going around that curve, I wouldn't have made the revival. Amen. I would have made heaven, but I wouldn't have made the revival. Amen. But God he takes care of us, doesn't he? Amen. I could just go on. In Columbia, I had a brand new van. It was a She's for Christ vehicle. I hadn't had it in a few months. Had less than 5,000 miles on it. And I'm up in the mountains everywhere. I'm talking about real mountains now. And I'm down in like first and second gear and gearing down, and I come to another curve and I hit the brakes and there weren't any. And I really did need them bad. And you know what happened on this brand new van? I never even heard, I didn't know such a thing could even happen. But the front brake pad on the driver's side completely fell off. That doesn't happen on new cars. But it did on that one. God got us around that curve. Amen. I slowed down, used some good sense from then on, and got to town, and they got me patched up when I get back to the city and get it fixed. But I'm telling you, God's our shield. He's our shield. He will take care of you. Amen. And so that's what the Lord said. Abraham, can't you just see? I can understand. He gets home. He's thinking, man, I only have 318 men. If all these armies come after me, my goose is cooked. And then the Lord says, fear not. He said that in the Bible 144 times. Fear not. He said, I am your shield. I am your protector. I will take care of you. And then Abram, he's feeling pretty good here, you know. He comes back and he has a confrontation, or I should say a celebration with Melchizedek, king of Salem. It's as if the Lord comes and joins him, and they have sweet, godly fellowship. And in that fellowship, the Bible says that Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, gave 10% of everything that he had to Melchizedek. Now, let me just throw this in as a little side note here. People that say they don't like to tithe because it's under the Mosaic law are wrong. Tithing didn't start with Moses, it started with Abraham. Tithing started with Abraham, not Moses. So it's not under the law. Yes, it's under the law, but it preceded the law. And so Abraham tithed because he was thankful to God. He was appreciative, and he's glowing in the sweet fellowship and God's miraculous protection and provision. And all of a sudden, the king of Sodom shows up. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? So the king of Sodom shows up and he tells Abram he's so thankful that he sees that he's back and he's got Lot and he's got all the possessions and all the livestock and all the people. And he says, if you'll just let me have my people back, he says, you can keep all the stuff. You can keep the gold and the silver and the livestock and the possessions and all of those things. But you know what Abraham said? He said, no, no. He said, all I want is my people. He said, you can have all the rest of it. He said, I don't want as much as a shoestring from you. Because later on, I don't want you to go around saying that I made Abraham wealthy. Now again, I believe Abraham's talking in the Holy Ghost here and don't know it. And after a while, he gets away, gets back to his, if I say tent, gets back to his tent, and he's looking kind of shabby, and he's thinking, you know what, maybe I was a little hasty. Woo! I gave up all that stuff. What was I thinking? Man, all that, look what I could have bought with that. Man, what was I thinking? Well, he was in the Holy Ghost. That's what's wrong. And I've done stuff like that. I remember one of the first sermons I preached, and the guy gave me an offer, and I felt so bad about what I preached, I gave it back to him. I never done that again, but I did that then. I came to my senses after that. No, it wasn't all that much anyway. But I just did. I felt it was the right thing to do. Probably was what I preached that time. I never preach it again. Never will. Amen. And so he comes to himself, and, you know, there's a fear of poverty. People, especially that lived through like the Depression years, there's a fear of being poor. People that really, really know what it's like to be poor battle sometimes a fear of that, of losing things. I think wealthy people oftentimes also, they have a fear of losing their possessions. And I kind of think maybe Abraham was having a little second thought about things. And thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't have given all that up quite so easy. Maybe I shouldn't have been so hasty in my speech. Maybe I should have held on to just a little bit of it. Not everybody understands living by faith. I read a story one time, one of my favorite authors. I think he's a Baptist man, and he has a brother, and I'm just pretty convinced that his brother's a Pentecostal because they have sharp differences in doctrine. But he has great admiration for his brother. His brother's a missionary. And his parents did not understand the brother because he never had much stuff in his family. And he was at the house one day, and the father was kind of giving his brother a hard time. He said, I bet you don't have two nickels to rub together in your pocket. And the man took out a coin and he flipped it on the table. And his dad said, see there? But you know what? He's as happy as he can be. God provides. God takes care. You know, but some people don't understand that money can't make you happy. That you don't, you know, some people think that if you don't live in a certain kind of house, you can't be happy. And if you don't wear a certain kind of clothes, you can't be happy. And if you don't drive a certain kind of car, you can't be happy. You just can't be. And I think our government's kind of getting like that. Amen. They think everybody's got to live in a certain kind of house and they can't be happy. Yes, you can. Amen. I've been with people where they just had all they had was walls made out of cardboard. And they'd somehow scrimped and scraped and got enough tin to put on the roof. But you know what? They were happy. And as soon as they got a little bit more money, they started buying a brick or two. And after a while, it took them a few years, but eventually they actually had a brick house with a tin roof. And they were happy. And they were happy. I've been with people in big homes, and they were not happy. Amen. And so, no, it's not about the stuff. Amen. And Abram, you know, but sometimes we kind of like to have a little bit more. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. If not for yourself, maybe for your family. And the devil comes and says, you know, your kids have it tough. If you were not if you were not live like you live, your kids could do better. They could be like so-and-so's kids. I hope not. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. There's not very many parents got kids that got up here and did what our kids did this last weekend. There's not many mamas and daddies that got young sons that can stand up here in the pulpit and deliver a marvelous message from the Holy Ghost. You talk about priceless. You talk about beyond material value. Amen. We're blessed. Amen. If you got children, you can walk by their room and you can hear them in there praying or see them reading their Bible. You talk about blessed. You talk about blessed. Amen. You don't walk by and you don't smell marijuana coming out from under the door. Amen. And they're not in there in the dark. Amen. And with the music turned up and even though with headphones on, the floor is still throbbing. Amen. Hey, you're blessed. You're blessed beyond measure. Amen. And so I'm just saying tonight that we're a blessed bunch around here. Amen. Because our children understand. Don't you let the devil beat you up over that kind of stuff. And could I say this? Don't you criticize somebody else's kids. Uh-oh. He's going to preach now. Amen. I'm proud of every one of our children. Amen. And every one of them is going to have good days and bad days. And every one of them is going to do good things and bad things. Yes, they are going to do some bad things. And if you don't think so, you got an awakening coming your way. They're going to have their ups. They're going to have their downs. Amen. Don't you try to make an angel out of your child. They're not angels. They're human beings. Support them. Help them. Pray for them. Protect them. Don't let them get themselves in situations where they can mess up. Take care of them. Amen. I heard one boy tell his daddy one time, he said, "I got the Holy Ghost. You don't trust me?" He said, "No further than I can throw an elephant." He said, "Why, Dad?" He said, "Because the hormones in your body are raging. And it'll interfere with your thinking." Amen. We need to protect our kids. We can help them prevent some things by taking care of them, not letting them get in situations where they'll be overwhelmed. "Oh, but my child's spiritual." Yeah, I believe that. But they're also human. Amen. We need to take care of them. We need to help them. Yes, we do. Amen. And so we're blessed to have what we have. And so Abram, you know, he got to thinking about what he'd given up. And fear said, "You know, you could starve to death out here. Look at you. You know, you left your homeland. You left your family. You're just out here all by yourself. They could swoop in, take everything you got, and you could literally starve to death out here." But you know what the Lord said to Abram? Amen. He said, "I am your exceeding great reward." Hallelujah. He not only said, "I'm your shield." He said, get this. He said, "Thy exceeding great reward." Anything you need, Abram, I'm going to take care of you. You're not ever going to have a need that I'm not going to supply. Amen. We need to understand that today. Hear what I'm saying. The Lord said, "I am. Not my stuff, but I am. Not your possessions, but I am. Me, personally, our relationship is your exceeding great reward." God does not promise everybody great possessions in spite of the fact of preachers that promise you that. You know, if you listen to your radio, They're going to tell you, if you'll send me such and such money, then God's just going to, he's going to open up heaven. And he, well, no, he's not necessarily. Amen. One singer had it pretty much right when he said, he's asking me for 20, he's got 10,000 on his arm. Talking about his Rolex. And asking you for 20 bucks. Huh? Let's get this in perspective, folks. God's not nearly as interested. He didn't say that your possessions are going to be your reward. He said, I am your reward. God is your reward. The relationship you have with God, that is your reward. Isn't that priceless? You hear what I'm saying tonight? Isn't that priceless? When you can wake up in the middle of the night and you can just feel the Lord all around you. Hallelujah. Or you may be in a hospital bed somewhere and the Holy Ghost comes in your room. Amen. And just overpowers you. You may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, having lost a loved one, and yet the peace of God that passes understanding is with you. Amen. That relationship with God supersedes everything. You cannot put a price on that. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said, I am your exceeding great reward. It's about me, Abraham, our relationship. That's what we've got to understand tonight. It's our relationship with God. That's what's priceless. Everything else comes and goes and is of no great importance. But your relationship with God, that means everything. So he said, you don't have to fear poverty. I'm going to take care of you. Hallelujah. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God takes care of people. Amen. He does. He takes care of you and me, doesn't he? Has the Lord ever done that for you? Amen. He has for me. Amen. There have been times I didn't know, well, where it's coming from. I've told you about the time I got so excited. I was a Bible college student. A lot of stuff happened when I was a Bible college student. You know, God was building my faith. And I opened my Bible one Sunday morning. And I had $3 in my Bible. Somebody had slipped $3 into my Bible. And man, I got excited. I said, McDonald's, here I come. That was when you could eat McDonald's. You could eat for $3. And I was excited. I mean, no cafeteria food for me today. McDonald's, here I come. Man, I was excited about that. Headed back to campus, had a flat tire. You know what it cost to fix a flat tire? $3. Amen. I was a missionary. Man, I went to a church one time, and I got a big offer. I mean a big offering. I thought, wow, man, I'm blessed. Mama, hey, we're gonna eat good. We're gonna buy something we really been wanting. You know what I bought with that? A transmission overhaul. But God looked down the road just a little bit and saw that my transmission wasn't gonna work. And so he gave me enough money to get it fixed before it ever happened. And you know what I learned from that? That when I got a good offering, I hang on to it. Because something's about to happen. Amen. And so God does take care of us. My, it's good living for the Lord. I wouldn't have it any other way. Amen. God is our exceeding great reward. The Lord said that our sufficiency is of God. Did you know that? Our sufficiency is of God. Your sufficiency is not from Exxon or Texaco or whoever you work for, JCPenney. That's not your sufficiency. Your sufficiency is from the Lord. Believe it or not, businesses go down every day. I told you the story about my friend that wanted to be a soul winner so bad. He said, God, he said, I don't care if I lose my job. I want to be a soul winner next morning. He went to work, and the gate was locked. I mean, they shut it down. And he got to thinking about that prayer the night before. Man, wow. Maybe I shouldn't pray that. You ever prayed a prayer you thought about later on and said, I don't know about that one. But he prayed it in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you know what happened? He got another job. God opened another door for him. Break time, he went in, and there was a young man in there reading his Bible. And he said, I see you're reading your Bible there. And the young man said, yeah. He said, I don't know. He said, are you a Christian? And the brother said, yeah. He said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I'm reading over here in the book of Acts, second chapter. He said, do you know anything about that? And the brother said, I believe I do. Amen. And so he got to Acts 2:38. And he explained it to him, and the young man came, and then he was baptized in Jesus' name, and he got the Holy Ghost and became a missionary in time. Amen. I'm just saying to you today that God has a way of working things out for you. So if he closes the door, look for a window. Amen. If you can't find a window, then he'll open and he'll make another door. God just has a way of working things out. If you put him first and follow him and believe in him, amen, and just trust God. He doesn't fail. He is our sufficiency. He has a way of working things out. Amen. The world has its way, and God has its way. Amen. Hallelujah. God has his way. Praise the Lord. I just heard a few weeks ago about a lady that, she felt impressed. The church was they were going to build a Bible school in a foreign country. And she really wanted to give to that, but she'd been saving up some money for a car. And she really needed the car. Her car's about gone, and she knew it, and she was saving up to get another one. But she really wanted to give money to the project, and so finally she said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I just feel like I really want to give this money to the Bible school. And so she did, and in her head she's thinking, now, Lord, you're going to have to help this old car, you know, because it's, and on top of that, she wasn't sure. They were talking about losing her job and shutting down her division, and she was, everything was topsy-turvy, but she wanted to do it, and so she gave. And she went to work, and her boss called her in, and she thought, uh-oh, this is it. Amen, I'm fixing to lose my job. And went in, and instead of losing her job, he put her in a new position and gave her a promotion. And she said, well, sir, she said, I'd like to do that. She said, but, you know, really, I don't have a car. And he said, oh, well, just take mine. And gave her his automobile. Now, I'm just saying the Lord knows how to take care of you. He knows how to take care of you. And he does. Praise the Lord. And so the Lord, that was the fear of poverty. And the Lord said, he said, I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm your sufficiency. I'll take care of you. And he does. Amen. And exactly he does. And then Abraham's great fear was fear of the future. Many of us have struggled with that. Fear of the future. What about tomorrow? What's going to happen to my kids? We look at that, don't we? We look at the world and it's in a mess, and we think, my, what am I going to do with them? Let me tell you something. God's going to take care of your kids just like he takes care of you. Amen. Did you know that he's raising up a generation that'll be able to do things you and I can't do? They already can. If it has anything to do with technology, amen, they know it. It's a new world. Amen. And God's raising up a generation that can cope with all this mess. I'm glad I'm getting out of here pretty soon. But he's raising up some that know what to do with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. My eyes are on going home. I'm going to let them have it. Praise the Lord. Amen. But they'll still need us old folks for a little while. Our day's not done yet. Amen. I can still punch a button or two myself. Don't you get being too sorry for me. Amen. If I get in trouble, I just go get Sister Melinda. She'll get me out of it. I got a new computer this week. Did you know that? My old computer cracked. I couldn't get it to come on for a week. It wouldn't come on. All it would do is blink at me. I'd push a button and just blink at me. And the screen was blank. And my sweet little wife saw my dilemma. And she called me a day or two ago and she said, I got your surprise. And boy, was it a surprise. She had a little old savings. She went and emptied her savings account and scraped every penny she could find. And she got me another computer. And you get a wife like that, you better hang on to her. You better believe I'm going to. Amen. Most guys, you know, their wives out spending them into the poorhouse. I got one. She takes care of daddy here, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I tell you something about my wife. She's one of the most generous people you'll ever meet in your life. You got to be careful about giving her money because she'll give it away. If she finds somebody that needs it or needs something, forget that. It's gone. Amen. She rarely ever buys anything for herself. She's always taking care of others, and that's a very admirable quality. A very rare commodity or person to be like that. But I appreciate her. So she bought me a new computer, and guess what? This afternoon, Sister Melinda resurrected my old computer. Amen. And she accused me of saying I was just putting on so I'd get a new one. But I really wasn't. She's a miracle worker. It was dead and she brought it to life again. I still don't trust it any further than I can throw it, but nonetheless, it's back for the time being. And I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. And but God takes care of us and he's, and our children have a bright future. Don't you? I meet parents sometimes and oh, they're so scared of the future. No. You don't need to be scared of the future. Amen. Did you know that God matches each generation with what it needs? Amen. And when I came to my generation, I could do things my parents were uncomfortable with. There were things that we were comfortable with, they were not comfortable with because they didn't have those things. And now it's passing on into the future. I'm going to hang on as long as I can. Amen. And so I want to know everything I know. I don't want to get left behind. I'm going to hang on to this as long as I can hang on. As long as my brain works, I'm going to try to learn. Amen. I said, as long as my brain works, I'm going to try to learn. How about you? I am. I'm going to keep trying to learn. I'm not going to sit back and say, well, you know, I'm going to try to learn. I'm going to do my best. And I know there's other old guys out there doing it, so I can too. Amen. And so fear of the future. Abram said, I don't have any children. It had been 10 years since God promised him a son. And he said, the only heir I got, he's born in my house, but he's not my son. He's one of my servants. Is that what you want, God? You want one of my servants to be my heir? Huh? And then the Lord said, oh no, Abram. He said, your heir is going to come from your loins. He's going to be your son. Amen. Just hang on, Abram. Just hang on. Now the Lord had already told him on another occasion when he had a son, he said, I want you to look down here at all this sand. He said, can you count all this sand? It's innumerable, right? He couldn't count all the sand. And so the Lord said, he said, this is how your seed's going to be. It's going to be innumerable. And this time, he tells him, he walks him outside. He says, Abraham, would you look up at the sky? Now, they were not living in a city. He's out in the middle of nowhere. When you're in the city, you can't see many stars, can you? But you get out in the country, my, you look up and you talk about seeing some stars. It is amazing. He looked up and the sky was literally filled with the stars of the heavens, sparkling like diamonds on black velvet. And he looked up and he saw that. And God said, all right, Abraham, now start counting. Can you count all these stars? And of course, Abraham said, oh, no, God, I can't count that high. And the Lord said, this is how your seed's going to be. Amen. Now, there's some theologians feel like there's a difference here between the sands and the stars. And there is a difference, isn't there? A little difference in sand and stars. Amen. Some theologians feel like the sand refers to Abraham's physical seed. Not everybody that's a Jew by nationality is a Jew by faith. There are Jews that don't even believe in God. Somebody pointed out to me one time that some of the most horrible people in the world are backslidden oneness people. Jews. Do you know who controls most of Hollywood and the filth that comes out of it? Huh? Some Jewish people. They control most of the garbage that comes out of there. But they're Abraham's seed. But that's the sand. Amen. And then there's his spiritual seed, and we're part of that bunch. Amen. We're the stars. You see, Hollywood's got it all messed up. They think they're the stars. No, they're the sand. We're the stars. Amen. They just got it all backwards. They don't understand that. But we are the stars of the heavens. We're his spiritual seed. And it is an innumerable number that God has made. Amen. And so he was fearing the future. Said, you don't have to fear the future. I'm in the future too. What did it say? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't have to fear the future. God's already there. I said, God is already there. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. God's got that covered. He's already taken care of it. Amen. You know what's beautiful about the stars? A storm can come by and you won't see a star in the sky. But you know what? When the storm passes, the stars are still there. They never went away. First time I ever rode on an airplane, I was flying from McAllen, Texas to a conference, general conference in Salt Lake City, Utah. And when I got on that airplane in McAllen, Texas, it was raining and it was thundering and lightning. And I thought, man, this is going to be a bad trip. And after a while, that airplane took off, and I got the surprise of my life. In a little while, I was up in the sunshine. It was just as bright as it could be up there. And down there, I could see the tops of the clouds, and I could see all the lightning and the carrying on. Amen. I was up above all that stuff. And so it taught me something, that it don't storm all the way to heaven. It just storms a little bit up here in the atmosphere. You can get above all that. Amen. There's still sunshine up above all that stuff. The stars are still shining up above all that stuff. Amen. See, God sees from a different perspective. He sees right through the storm because the sun's always shining where He is and the stars are always twinkling where God is. And so if we don't lose perspective, amen, you gotta keep your perspective right here tonight. Amen. The Lord is going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about the future. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the Lord said to Abram, He said, I want you to get the hold of this. He said, look now toward heaven. Everybody say, look toward heaven. Now there's a key right there. You got to quit looking around, quit looking down, and look toward heaven. When fear comes, if it's fear of your situation, if it's fear of poverty, if it's fear of the future, whatever kind of fear you have, you need to look toward heaven. Say, all right, God. Amen. It don't look too good around here. And I want to look up where things are good. That's one of the, wasn't that what the psalmist said? I look to the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, he said. So you gotta lift up your eyes and look away from the trouble and look to the Lord. And then you gotta feed your faith instead of your fears. But I say, feed your faith instead of your fears. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You gotta feed your faith. You gotta get a hold of things. You know, some people, as soon as they get a little troubled, you know, they run to the medicine cabinet and see if they can find a pill. Amen. We're America's the most pill-addicted nation in the whole world. That's right. There's a lot of people. First thing they want to do is reach and get some auto. That won't help you. Amen. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. Don't feed your fears. Amen. Quit talking about your fears. Amen. Feed your faith. Amen. Start singing. Start worshiping. Start praising. Start praying. Start thanking God. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. Amen. Get your Bible out. And if you feed your faith, your fear will starve to death. And after a while, the fear goes and faith abides. Feed your faith. Amen. It's important that we learn to do that. Hallelujah. Amen. And so God told Abram, he said, count the stars. Lift up your eyes. Look at heaven. Amen. And this is how it's going to be. And then the Bible said, and let me close with this, and he believed in the Lord. Everybody say, he believed in the Lord. And he, that is the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. He looked at Abraham's faith and he said, that's what I've been looking for right there. If I can just find faith. Isn't that what Jesus said one time to his disciples? He said, when the Son of Man shall come, will he find faith on the earth? Amen. And our answer is, yes, Lord, I'm gonna make sure there's some faith because I'm going to believe. How about you? Any other believers in the house tonight? You going to keep believing?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. I don't know, but I'm going to keep believing because when he comes, I want to know there's some faith on the earth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just keep believing God. Amen. Don't doubt. Amen. Just keep believing God. The Bible said that Abraham believed in the Lord and the Lord counted as righteousness. Amen. He believed that God was able. He believed God's promise. And he became the father of the faithful, did he not? Abraham had great faith in the Lord. Had great faith in God. Amen. It was a building process. And it is for all of us, by the way. You know, if you've been living for the Lord a while, your faith's a lot stronger than you think it is. It's a lot stronger than when you started out. Amen. So you don't even think about it now. Certain things happen to you, and you don't even give it a thought. And a few years ago, it would have really rattled your cage. You would have thought, what am I going to do? Now then, you don't even give it any thought. Because your faith has grown. Your faith has grown. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what we have to have patience with other people, you know. You look at some people going through some things, you think, my goodness, what are they worried about? Yeah, because you've already been through that. You've already outgrown that. But they're just going through it. And so you look at it and you can encourage them. You can say, now come on. You know, the Lord, he's going to take you through this. You're going to be all right. How do you know? Because I've been down this road. I've been through this valley. I've been around this mountain. I know what this is about. And I got through it, and you will too. And so our faith is always growing. God's saw to it that Abraham had occasion. His faith kept growing until he got to the point. I'm telling you, you talk about faith. Abraham got to the point that when God said, sacrifice your son, he considered it worship, Brother Neil. He didn't put it off. He didn't mull over it. He didn't think about it. The Bible said he rose up early in the morning. First thing, he got up. Amen. And he got up and he got his fire and he got his wood and he got everything together. He got his knife and he started out. And when he got to where the Lord told him to go, he said, you stay here to the servants while the lad and I go up to worship. And then he said, and we will come to you again. The New Testament records it this way, that Abraham believed that if he sacrificed Isaac, that God would raise him up again. He had that kind of faith. He knew that God wasn't going to ask him for something that he wasn't going to reward, because the Lord said, I am your exceeding great reward. And he had such faith in God that he would do anything that God asked, even when he did not understand and it didn't make any sense at all. Amen. Now, he didn't get there overnight. It took him a long time. Amen. It was 25 years before his son was born. Now his son's 17. So how much is 17 and 25? Somebody's real good in math here. Amen. What, that's 42 years? That's a while, isn't it? So you see, if you follow God and be faithful, your faith grows a lot in 42 years. Amen. So by now, Abraham's he's a veteran of the war of faith. Believe God. Amen. Your faith will conquer your fears. Amen. You know, every age has a new set of fears, doesn't it? I'm closing, really I am. You know, when you're a kid, you think, well, I'll never get to be a teenager. You know, and then you get a bicycle and you can't wait to get a car. And then you get to be a teenager and you get to thinking, well, you know, I'll never get married. Amen, I'll never find anybody, never. Everybody will have somebody but me. Amen. Anybody remember those fears? Huh? Those fears, yeah. At least there's a couple honest people in here. Fears. We had fears, yeah. Every age got them. Amen. And then you get married and you're afraid you're not going to make it. Unless you marry a good wife like mine. Amen. Then you got fears when you're married, right? Got fears. Amen. Then you're afraid your kids are born and you're afraid, well, you know, I'm afraid for my kids. Amen. And that turns out all right. You're afraid of the terrible twos. They're not so terrible. Amen. You get through that. And then you're afraid of the terrible teens. And if you do your job right, they won't be so bad either. Hello? Hello? So if you do your job right, they won't be so bad either. Amen. And so fears. I'll never get a house. And then you get a house. Never get it paid for. Then you get it paid for. Amen. I'll never. Fear goes through your whole life. Amen. Some of you, now then your lifetime mate's gone home. When fears come in and say, well, I don't know if I can make it. But you know what? You are. You are. My sweet little mama, my dad took care of everything. My mom didn't do nothing. She didn't balance a checkbook. She didn't write checks. She didn't pay bills. My dad took care of all of that. And then he was gone. Well, fear. Amen. But you know what? Mom just settled in. Faith. Taking it one day at a time. Learned how to pay the bills. Amen. Living on Social Security. Amen. And serving God. Praying. Worshiping. Being faithful. Paying her tithes. Amen. Giving offerings on Social Security. She just kept on doing it. Just serving the Lord like she's supposed to. And my, you know who was doing the worrying? My brothers and sisters were worrying. Mom, how are you going to make it? You know what? She made it fine. And when she went on, they were shocked when they found out how many thousand dollars she'd saved up on Social Security. Amen. She just learned how to live. And God rewarded her. I'm just telling you tonight, your faith will conquer your fears. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. Not your face, your faith. Let me make that clear. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. Feed your faith. Amen. Your faith will conquer your fear. And there's always going to be another face to fear somewhere down the road. You'll conquer one facet, and then you'll find another. There'll be another curve in the life of roads, the road of life, and sure enough, you'll find something else to be afraid of. Amen. But you just got to have your faith and say, "No, wait a minute. Faith, you and I've come a long way together. And every time I've made this turn and I've faced a new enemy, you helped me. And every time you brought me through. And I believe that you're going to get me through this one too." Amen. You're going to get me through this one too. Amen. God just has a way of getting you through things. He does. I've served the Lord for a long time. I got the Holy Ghost, gave my life to the Lord when I was 15 years of age. Got the Holy Ghost at Texaco Camp Meeting, our youth camp, the very first service I was ever in at youth camp, I got the Holy Ghost. And I've tried to live for God ever since then. Had my ups and downs, but I've been faithful. Amen. I've been in church. I never turned back, never quit, never gave up. Just kept going forward, putting one foot in front of the other one. Thank God for that. Amen. It's been 45 years now that the Lord and I have been walking together. I appreciate that so very, very much. Amen. But there's been a lot of fears in my life. I've had to face some things. I used to say that I hadn't faced much, but I can't say that anymore. Hey, man, we've faced some booger bears in our life. I tried to live right. I never smoked. I've never drank. I don't know. I couldn't even. If I went to a place to order a drink, I wouldn't even know what to order. I wouldn't know. Amen. I've never drank a beer in my life. There's never been one in my refrigerator anywhere I've ever lived. Never had any of that in my life. I just never have. And I thought that, you know, I'd pretty well avoided the booger bear in my family. That's heart trouble, you know. Amen. I didn't do anything to deserve heart trouble. But right before I came to Athens, 6 years ago, I was moving Cherie to an apartment. When I started moving things upstairs, my breath got real short. And I started getting severe pains in my chest. And I'd have to stop and rest. I didn't say anything. Amen. I just thought, well, you know, I don't have this, you know. I've been good. I don't have this. And so I put it off and put it off and put it off. We got her moved in. Eventually got her moved out again, moved to another place. And then we started moving our stuff here to Athens after you so graciously elected us as pastor. We were moving stuff here. Some things blew off the truck. And I went back to get them. And I didn't think I was going to make it back to the pickup. When I got there, I was in such pain, couldn't breathe, hurting so bad I couldn't talk. Then my wife got concerned, and I had to fess up. So when I got back to Midland, I went to the cardiologist, and we'd done a test 7 months before, and everything was okay. And so I went in, and he said, well, everything was all right. We did the test 7 months ago. I said, yes, sir, we did. I said, but something has changed. Put me on the treadmill, and I was on there just a minute or two, and he said, stop. Stop. He said, "That's you got problems." And he called me, and he said, we need to do surgery, and you need to be at the hospital Monday morning. And I said, well, I got to go preach this weekend. How about Thursday? He said, no, I said Monday. I said, okay, I'll see you Monday then. And so I just thought it'd be a little deal that just go in there and, you know, do a little plumbing and put in a couple of stents, and, you know, I'd be back down here in Athens for the next weekend. Maybe went in and did the test and found out. And he said, you know, we can't do stents. I said, what do you do? He said, well, we're going to have to do open heart. And that wasn't in my plans. I needed to be here Sunday to preach. Well, that afternoon, they shut it down, split me open, and whacked my chest open, and pulled in my heart, and went in there and did a little plumbing. Amen. I woke up after a while and wish I hadn't. Hurt bad a few days. I didn't plan on any of that. But you know what? I'd have to say that I never, ever worried. Just the grace of God just stepped in and said, I'm going to take care of you. And you know what? I believe that because I had to get here. I was in the will of God when I came to Athens, Texas. I believe I was. Now, some folks doubt that, but I believe I was. And I believe I am. And so I knew to do the will of God, I had to come to Athens. Amen. So it was God's job to get me here somehow. And a month later, we showed up. Been here ever since. Amen. Plan to stay by the grace of God till he tells me to do something else. Amen. But I'm just telling you today that faith will take you through. Faith will take you through. You're going to have problems. You're going to have situations. And it's not going to be fair sometimes. You're going to say, but I'm living for God. This shouldn't happen to me. It rains on the just, and it rains on the unjust. Amen. Praise God. Good things happen to bad people. Amen. Bad things happen to good people. You're going to have situations in your life. Things are going to happen to you. But just have faith. Believe God. Feed your faith. Praise God, and you'll get through. Your faith will conquer your fears. Amen. Thank you for hearing us tonight. Amen. God, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Amen. I know it's a process, and we start out little, and you keep on building every day. We conquer one enemy to face another. We go through one situation to face another. And you're always feeding our faith, feeding our faith, feeding our faith, feeding our faith. Thank you, because faith conquers fear. Faith conquers fear. It always does. If I'll hold on, if I'll believe, if I'll stay faithful, you always, always, always bring us through. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Faith conquers fear.